141st contact Saturday, January 3rd, 1981, 1:40 a.m. Billy, you don't hold to my wish, my child. You, nevertheless, know exactly that I have broken off the contacts, and I don't want to continue them anymore. Semyas, 1. I came to visit you because you have a birthday in 1 month from today. Billy, oh, I see, that's different, and, either way, I am really happy. If I want to be honest, then I must admit that the time of our contact disruption has become devilishly long. But I still think it's better like this and should remain so. But why, then, did you already come today? Don't you have any time on my birthday? Semyas, 2. I thought that a visit as an advance notification was better, and if you allow it, I would like to talk with you again about the discontinuation of the contacts. Billy, if it's just a discussion, then so be it. I think that I'm so far better off again that I no longer get excited so quickly. Semyas, 3. You look better, much better. 4. Obviously, you could still recover a little bit. 5. Nevertheless, I'm not mistaken in that your health is still very bad. Billy, there, you're quite right, but I will still certainly improve a lot more. Perhaps I can then devote myself to my work again. Semyas, 6. Does that mean that you're willing to take up the contacts with us again? Billy, I said nothing about that. Semyas, 7. Yet it would be desirable and a great joy for all of us. 8. It would certainly be appropriate if you'd think about it. 9. We ourselves can also continue with our task. Billy, today, I am neither for nor against it in this respect. Semyas, 10. Certainly, but your reflection would certainly be of value. Billy, that may be, and, okay, I will do it. Give me some time until the filming and the photographing. Then, we can talk about it again. Semyas, 11. Sure, it's a word, and this gives me joy and hope. Billy, your joy and hope are an honor for me, but you shouldn't set your hopes too high. Semyas, 12. I don't do that, but I foresee something because you're healthy again, or at least there is so much of a striving forward to an improvement that your optimism is recognizable again. 13. And just that means a lot with you. Billy, all right, but just like that, you shouldn't speak of me. Semyas, 14. Why not? 15. It's just the truth. Billy, you see, you say that. But one may not say such truths on earth. Semyas, 16. I don't understand that. Billy, it's quite simple. Very often, you and also Ta and Quetzal have said things about me, by which I have been put in the devil's kitchen. These truths, as you call them, are valid with many as adulation to portray me as some kind of nice superperson and as better than the others. In so-called circles of friends, this has already been claimed very often, as well as in the other circles that want to destroy me in our work. Here on earth, such things just aren't of value. Semyas, 17. About that, you truly shouldn't trouble yourself because such speeches only reveal the boundless envy and self-knowledge of those who are totally incapable and their own strength to equate with you even approximately. 18. On the other hand, we never spoke to you of your person in a praise-speaking manner. Rather, we always only mentioned facts, thus, truths, about which we gave you relative statements. 19. However, such statements do not correspond to praise, which is why it is inappropriate and defamatory of third parties when they lay such unjustified accusations on you. 20. We never had the intention, and we never gave such praise to you, to portray you as a super person, etc. 21. All such activity is also far from our way of thinking and our ethics and also from our overall knowledge of the harmfulness of praise speaking. Billy, Nevertheless, the human being of the earth thinks so stupidly and illogically. Simyas, 22. The only ones doing such, as I have mentioned to you, are those whose minds do not reach up to logical grasping and understanding. Billy, it also makes no difference. Therefore, let's leave it with what we've talked about. I'd prefer it if I could soon go on the trip to do my film work and photo work. Simyas, 23. You must not wait very long, for soon, the weather conditions and the land will be such that you can start on your way, even though it still doesn't look like that at present. Billy, that's good, because I've been sitting on pins and needles for a long time. Simyas, 24. However, this coming work will be very difficult for you again. 25. And in such a way that my foresight comes true. Billy, that is well known to me because I'm not making them for the first time. Also at the other times, I often didn't go to sleep for days. Simyas, 26. Sure, but it will be rewarding with regard to good material. 27. But now, my friend, I want to include many dear greetings and wishes and all the love, which I should convey to you from Father, Quetzal, Pleya, and Manara. 28. Also, all other friends and girlfriends greet you, also Ascot and Nera. Billy, that can't be true. Human child, that's a joy. Were you in the Dal universe, then? And, of course, give all of them my heartfelt thanks and let everyone be greeted rather nicely from me. Simyas, 29. I will gladly relay your greetings, also to Ascot and Nera, who were with us on Era. Billy, that is news, human child. Simyas, 30. I have another surprise for you. Billy, aha, and what should it be? Simyas, 31. When you carry out your photo and film work, only then can I give you the surprise. 32. Until then, you still have to be patient. Billy, what should it be, then? Simyas, 33. I have been given the permission to hand over a small amount of metal samples to you again, which you already asked me for a long time ago. Billy, fantastic. Dear thanks for your efforts. Simyas, 34. However, it will no longer concern the same materials, but they have an approximate resemblance to the first samples. Billy, that doesn't matter. It is important that I receive new metal samples, which should then be analyzed. Simyas, 35. There will also be new surprises for the analysts once again. Billy, that I can imagine. Simyas, 36. Besides the metal pieces, I'll still be allowed to hand over some other things to you, such as a liquid from a planet that is still in its primeval form of development. Billy, what kind of liquid is it? Simyas, 37. You would call it primordial water. Billy, thus, so to speak, a primordial soup. Simyas, 38. That is, indeed, your name for it. Billy, that is fantastic. Does this primordial soup, then, also contain plant germs? Simyas, 39. That would be possible, but I will bring plant germs to you if I can obtain permission for this. Billy, that would really be the culmination of the whole. Simyas, 40. Certainly, but you should get for me some small glass containers for these things. Billy, I will. Glass bottles would probably be the right thing. Simyas, 41. Sure. Billy, good, I'll get them for you within the next few days. You must fetch them, then, only with me. Simyas, 42. I will gladly do so. Billy, may I ask you some questions since you're already here? Simyas, 43. Sure. Billy, good, thank you. Here, these are two photos that I have received from Wendell Stevens. As you can see, it concerns two model heads. Can you tell me whether any human life forms are known to you that look like these pictured heads? Astra's translator's note. Click on the thumbnails to bring up the larger photos and captions that appear in this contact report of Pleiadian/Plejaran contact reports volume 4. Model head 1, model head 2. Simias, 44. Are you of the acceptance that these head replicas have true backgrounds? Billy, you're good. I asked you a question, but then you asked me a counter question. Simias, 45. I have my reasons for this. Billy, well then, here, I consider this green head absolute nonsense. During the great journey, I had the opportunity to see your recordings of human life forms, which you kindly demonstrated to me with your viewing devices. But I cannot remember a single human life form that looked like this or substantially similar. Moreover, there were, as you explained at that time, about 30 million different races, which you let me see visually. Simias, 46? With that, you are quite right. 47. No human life form exists in the universal space within reach of us that bears even a slight resemblance to this imaginary product pictured here. 48. On the other hand, the person has already been known to us for a long time, who claims that she has contact with life forms of the kind photographed here. 49. We became aware of this through a routine analysis of Mr. Stevens' interests as he tried to transfer the book. 50. As a result, we concerned ourselves in detail and thoroughly with the person who wants to have alleged contacts with the life forms of the kind photographed here. 51. Our detailed investigation proved that this person invents deceitful and swindler-like assertions and also disseminates these in this unpleasant manner. 52. This person does this, in part, completely deliberately, but another part is self-suggestive hallucinations. 53. The other unpleasant fact is that this person gathers self-conceived material and wants to distribute it among the Earth people with the false assertion that it comes from contact conversations and transmissions with the human life forms depicted right here in this photograph, which, of course, in no way corresponds to the truth because everything truly only corresponds to a fantasy production of the person concerned. Billy, something similar, I thought to myself. But now, what is with the second picture? And, why do you, once again, mention no name? Simias, 54. That would only aggravate the whole machination in favor of the deceitful person concerned because only too quickly, people can be beguiled on the earth by such false assertions and be misled. 1. Billy, good, but now, what about the second picture? Simias, 55. This model is also built on lies and deception, but this fraudulent picture belongs to a person who lives about 8,500 kilometers away from the one who professes to the green picture fraud. 56. Also this person, through whose initiative this whitish-brown model head has originated, has no contacts to exhibit with any other intelligences than the Earth people. Billy, but why? Then, do both these people, as well as many others, do such crazy things? Simias, 57. We already talked about that many times. 58. Furthermore, which I would still like to add to my former explanations, there is still to be mentioned, 59. The entire activity of many such people is based on a delusion of the time. 60. And unfortunately, there are many Earth people who have fallen to this delusion of the time, whereby the crazy religions bear the majority of the blame for the fact that this delusion has appeared. 61. The Earth human being, through the lies of the crazy religions, has been cast into fear and into the uncertain knowledge view that the false teachings of the crazy religions are extremely weak and just wrong. Which is why the human being of this world searches for new perspectives of understanding and truth. 62. However, blinded and misguided by the crazy religions and cults, The Earth human being searches for the truth in directions that are still connected to crazy religions. 63. This entails that unstable people turn to those mysterious things which are well known on the one hand but, on the other hand, still represent an unsolvable and incomprehensible phenomenon to the human being, in this case, the ships of extraterrestrial intelligences, which the Earth human being simply calls UFOs. 64. However, for the unstable groups of Earth people, everything represents an unsolvable, incomprehensible, and extraterrestrial phenomenon that must have a supernatural origin, and this supernatural, in this case, is to be equated with a divine origin in the cult religious and crazy religious sense. 65. Many of the false UFO contacts or other UFO witness, if we still want to use the term UFO for the sake of understanding, act in their own deceitful ways for purely sectarian reasons that are still motivated by fear or by delusional, morbid notions of world improvement, or they act in such a way out of purely personal psychological abuses. 66. So they are, as a rule, morbid or sectarian, starry-eyed idealists with delusional ideas, or they are people who are mentally ill and who never find enough recognition for themselves according to their own judgment, which is why they see themselves as disadvantaged people who are excluded from the joys and honors of life or think that these are too shortly held. 67. Then, through deceitful and swindler-like machinations in the matter of UFOs, they believe that they can get recognition for themselves because they are particularly named in the public or simply in larger circles, by which they can satisfy their hunger for recognition. 68. In addition to these swindlers and fraudsters, however, there are also those who pursue charlatanism for fun, together with those who want to make everything seem ridiculous and impossible through false actions, assertions, and photographs. And not infrequently, political or sectarian backgrounds play a crucial role in this. 69. Then, however, those swindlers and fraudsters are still to be mentioned to invent lies out of pure greed for profit, in order to get rich through swindling and deception in the matter of UFOs. Billy, to which kind, then, do these two belong, from whom these fraudulent photos? That is, these fraudulent model heads came, in accordance with their details. Semyas, 70. They belong to the group of those who seek recognition and who are, at the same time, blinded, starry-eyed idealists. 71. And in the madness of their activities, they are so rich in imagination that they know to perfect their deceitful machinations so that they can work certain things of reality of everyday life into their deceptive machination of untruth. 72. Thus, one of the two deceptive persons even knows how to get names and all kinds of data of people anywhere on the earth through investigations and acquaintances, etc., in order, then, to evaluate these things in the way that the deceitful person who has these data approaches gullible people with the assertion that he has been handed these data or that they were transmitted to him by extraterrestrials or otherworldly life forms, and this, of course, along with more lies and fanciful assertions. 73. Then, if these gullible ones investigate the information and find it confirmed, then they must guidedly believe in these assertions and suppose that the deceitful person really has contacts with extraterrestrial intelligences or otherworldly life forms, etc. Billy, aha, there I can remember. Wendell Stevens, indeed, came to me with such a story. There should be an American who wants to have contacts with otherworldly ones or extraterrestrials. Now, one of these life forms is supposed to have given this man information about a Swiss and his family. The Swiss should be named Kobler or something similar and should live somewhere in or around Zurich. The alleged American contactee now claims that this alleged otherworldly being or extraterrestrial life form told him that the Swiss is the brother of a wannabe contactee and that they should, in turn, find themselves in this world, etc. Semyas, 74. Sure, I responded exactly to that with my explanation. Billy: ah, then this machination is known to you. Semyas: 75. Shirley: Billy, and how did this wannabe contactee receive the information about the Swiss? Semyas: 76. The Swiss is a very busy man and travels a lot and with pleasure. 77. He deals a lot with music and often travels to many countries, including America. 78. Thus, his name became known in certain circles, by which the alleged American contactee learned from a friend the name of the Swiss, including other important family data, etc. 79. Then, with a little investigation and effort, the alleged contactee got to know all interesting facts about the Swiss, after which he then began to spread his fairy tale. Billy: aha, and Wendell has fallen for this. I've suspected something like that for a long time. I also haven't held back with my view on this subject. With your information, I am satisfied. I just don't understand why such a fast one can be pulled on Wendell Stevens. Semyas: 80. Many Earth people can be deceived by such wrong interests. 81. But now, we should let the matter rest, for I still have another announcement to make. 82. For about 40 days, there has been another station of extraterrestrial intelligences on Earth, provided by us to resembling human life forms from the planet Haster in the Garonne system of the name Galaxy. 83. This galaxy is located 483 million light-years away from the Earth, and 413 different human races live on the habitable planets there throughout the entire galaxy, which is, relatively seen, very little for an entire galaxy. 84. Just a few years ago, we entered into connection with the highly sophisticated inhabitants of the planet Haster, who have progressed so far in their overall development as it will be for the Earth people in approximately 1,120 years. 85. With ethically and very highly distinct lifestyles, the inhabitants of Haster are very peaceful and loving, and besides this, they live in the same time level as the Sol system, thus, in the present level, as this would be said or called by you. 86. Because the Haster inhabitants are now interested in life forms in the remote vastness of the universe which is still inaccessible to them but cannot yet reach these areas with their technology, we have extended our connections with them in such a way that we brought an expeditionary command of the Haster inhabitants here in the Great Spacer. 87. We also helped them build their station, which was created in the depths of the North Sea and from where they will expand their expeditionary work across the whole world. 88. Since their mental, physical, and consciousness-related development has not yet progressed as far as ours, we can only maintain physical contact with them using our vibration-neutralizing devices, as we must also do so with the Earth people when it is necessary now and then. 89. However, this now means that the Haster inhabitants can freely move among the Earth people because their vibrations turn out to be bearable with those of the Earth people, but only briefly. 90. The Haster inhabitants cannot remain in the direct range of the vibrations of the Earth people for more than 17 hours. Otherwise, they begin to lose control of themselves. 91. But since they have this 17-hour possibility, they have decided that they will seek contact with one or several people of the Earth for their study purposes and also for the instruction of the Earth people, but certainly with no more than three people, who must remain silent about it for their lifetimes, which is why especially upright people are to be selected for these contacts, who can be completely trusted. Billy: but not me, for I really have enough. Semyas: 92. Certainly not. They won't do that. 93. You won't be burdened even more by them. Billy: then that's good. Semyas: 94. Certainly, but now, I have to go back to the station, and, on February 3rd, I will visit you again if it's possible for me. 95. Now, I only ask you to write down our conversation when I transmit it to you because it should be regarded as another contact report, even if it should be that you won't continue this anymore. 96. Our discussion material contains some interesting facts that may be of interest to all people. Billy, if I'm able to do that, then I'll do it. Then, I will try to call you. However, it might take several weeks. In addition, I won't tell anyone anything about our contact, and I will also hold back the report for so long, until I have finally decided on whether I will resume the contacts or not. Semyas, 97. That is your decision. 98. I have nothing to object to that because I understand your thought processes very well. Billy, excellent. Then I will do my best to take up your message and write it down before the month of February. But now, I also must go, because otherwise, someone will still come looking for me, and moreover, I still have to finish the snow removal. Bye then, and lots of love to all. Semyas, 99. Until we meet again. 100. Farewell. 142nd Contact Tuesday, February 3rd, 1981, 11:53 p.m. Billy, you've really found the time to visit me today, about which I am very happy. Semyas, 1. Even for me, it is a joy. Billy, of course, I understand, but may I immediately, at the beginning, ask a question? Semyas, 2. Sure, just ask. Billy, you can still remember that I brought you two photos during our last contact. Semyas, 3. Yes, those which I was to judge. Billy, yes, exactly. Today, I have something similar, namely a letter again, which clearly indicates that it is a swindle. Here, if you want to read it. Semyas, 4. Thank you, of course, I want to read it. 5. Oh, it is, however, rather long. 6. It will take some time. Therefore, have some patience. Semyas reads for a long time. After that, 7. Is this supposed to be a joke, or have these very faulty words been written with seriously deceitful intention? Billy, they are really meant to be serious, obviously in order to perpetrate a fraud. Semyas, 8. Then it truly does concern a fraud, which certainly must be explained by me. 9. The few human races in the area of the Cassiopeia constellation and another space-time configuration are well known to us, but they have no resemblance to the life forms mentioned in this letter. 10. Also, their aircraft do not correspond in any way to the kind described here, and besides, their technology isn't so far and highly developed that they could, with their own aircraft, reach the Earth. 11. The technology of one of the two races is presently developed so far that they prepare just the first flight attempts to outer space, and they stand just a little bit behind Earth's technological development. 12. The second race, which is on another planet behind the Cassiopeia constellation, only his aircraft that master their own planetary space somewhat certainly. 13. Among these facts is the further complication that both of these races of human life forms exist in a different time plane in relation to the Earth, like I said, so separated from the time plane that is known to the Earth human being and in which he lives. 14. So when the people of the Cassiopeia constellation one day master space travel, they still won't be able, for a long time, to penetrate into the time plane in which the Earth people live their existence. Billy, and in our time plane known to us, no human life forms exist, who would be capable of space flight in Cassiopeia, that is in that area. Semyas, 15. Sure, there are people there, but these are not yet advanced in space flight or are not yet so far advanced that they could carry out journeys through universal space. 16. Like on the Earth, secret stations of foreign planet human races exist there on their planet, which do not, however, practice direct contact with the planet's inhabitants. Billy, I understand. But now, another question, how many of all solar systems have planets that are actually inhabited by people, which are visible from the Earth and which are known to us? If one believed all alleged contact reports of Earth people with extraterrestrials, practically all solar systems would be inhabited. Semyas, 17. Sure, your words correspond to the truth. 18. Truly, there are only very few solar systems inhabited by human life forms that are known to the Earth human being, and on the other hand, a lot of suns have no planetary systems. 19. To these facts, there is still to add that many of the space-traveling races that come to the Earth are not resident in the time plane known to the Earth human being. Billy, we already spoke very often about space-traveling human races that do not belong to you and which come, nevertheless, to the Earth. In which time plane do they all belong? Semyas, 20. It is different for each. 21. To mention all of them would be difficult and time-consuming. Billy, then let's say, for example, the people of the area of Alpha Centauri, then Reticuli, or whatever it is, then. Semyas, 22. The first ones live a tiny fraction of a second shifted from the Earth time plane, so therefore, they cannot be reached by Earth inhabitants before they master time travel. 23. The second human race you mentioned also does not live in the same time plane as the Earth people. 24. You should be content with this because it would all be too much for today if we wanted to clarify these matters. Billy, well, then let's just stay with the letter. Then this Joseph Wanderka, who wrote this letter, is just another spinner? Semyas, 25. He belongs to the same group as those two, of whom you brought me during the last contact visit the photos of the model heads. Billy, then the case is clear. I just don't understand one thing. This funny and crazy letter arrived into the hands of Wendell Stevens, who sent it for further examination of the situation to Herbert Runkle, who, in turn, presented it to me. Now, at the same time, I don't understand how and why Wendell doesn't check such things more closely and why he too glibly supposes that behind such obvious, idiotic nonsense, there could be a degree of truth. Even in other similar cases, I have already determined this. Wendell is just too gullible. Semyas, 26. He is a researcher and a seeker but, unfortunately, not a true expert, and besides, he is too credulous. Billy, it also seems so to me. Semyas, 27. Just with the photos and with this letter, it should have hit him that something can't be right and doesn't correspond to the truth. 28. Especially with this letter, it would have had to hit him that an attempted fraud was present because certain similarities to your writings unmistakably point to the fact that these are clearly based on the fact that your written material was reproduced in a distorted and fraudulent form. 29. A lot of this very clearly and without a doubt points to the fact that this person, Joseph Wanderka, has falsified compositions from your writings and from our contact reports in his own favor and has maliciously and intentionally written them down as his own experiences. Billy, we have already determined this. So then, it is true that this guy has stolen material from my writings. Semyas, 30? Sure, because that is unmistakable and clear. Billy, it's just a pity that such a fast one can be pulled on Wendell. Semyas, 31. That is a true word because he strives for the truth in a serious and extremely honest and correct manner, in relation to all of these interests. 32. It would be better for him if he consulted more with you for the clarification of such interests because you are the only person on the Earth who has the necessary insight and knowledge and experience with respect to extraterrestrial life and missiles and aircraft of the same, in order to be able to be helpful to him in regards to this with good, honest, and sure advice. Billy, I have certain experiences, knowledge, and insights. Yes, that's right, but of this, I don't want to make too much advertising. All too quickly, it would be said that I contest and deny the experiences, observations, and contacts of others out of selfishness and for reasons of making myself out to be great. And unfortunately, this is exactly what I would have to do with approximately 98% of all cases, because at least this round percentage falls under lying, deception, charlatanry, and forgery, etc. Semyas, 33. Nevertheless, it would be of great benefit for Wendell Stevens if he received your advice and your knowledge in such matters. Billy, if that should be his wish, I will help him, of course. Semyas, 34. That is good. Billy, then this case is also dismissed. Semyas, 35. May I now ask you a question? 36. I assume that I may do so on your birthday. Billy, if you do not shun the answer? Semyas, 37. No, then I may ask? Billy, certainly. Semyas, 38. Thank you. Minus 39. During my last visit, I asked you about our continuation of the contacts. Billy, I know, and I also understand. Now, yes, I have already thought about it. Semyas, 40. I don't want to push you for an answer, because we have agreed that you would answer me when you go on the trip for the film and photo work. Billy, I know, but I have really thought about it, and as well as the things stand, I can, indeed, give you the answer already. I will make a start again and, thus, resume the contacts. Semyas, 41. 42. That is dear of you. 43. I always knew, through my foresight, that you would not break, in spite of all the ugly events of recent years, and that you would continue with a better feeling again, because you simply can't throw away your obligation. Billy, then you have recognized it well. Semyas, 44. For your decision, I am to pay you the thanks of all of us. Billy, thank you. Then, all of you knew this? Semyas, 45. There were never any doubts for us about the fact that you would take up your work again as soon as possible, as soon as you were healthy enough to be able to do so. 46. Nevertheless, we made calculations that told us with 100% certainty that you had not reached a final decision when you interrupted the contacts. 47. We found out that your action was only one of self-preservation, because your strength wasn't enough anymore. 48. You never had the intention of regarding the discontinuation of the contacts as being final. 49. However, we understand this very well, and we ourselves could not have come to a better decision if we had been put before such by you. 50. However, you could have spoken calmly with us about this, because we would have understood you very well. Billy, unfortunately, I wasn't healthy enough to be able to do so. It was all just too much for me. Semyas, 51. That is very well known to me. Billy, I will, indeed, continue, but no longer in the center. I think that I will no longer return when I go on the trip for the photo work. Semyas, 52. A change of location would be very good for you, especially if you would live in the warm south. 53. Also for Engelbert, this would be of necessity for his health. 54. But with all of this, I see problems concerning your family. Billy, I know, but I will also go alone. Then, this problem solves itself. Semyas, 55. However, you can't be serious, because you know, nevertheless, that certain circumstances require that your entire family is always with you. 56. Without your family, you cannot fulfill your task. 57. The connections are well known to you. Billy, I know that, but I can still do my work as far as it is possible. Semyas, 58. However, this work would be pointless because for the time being, it could never be carried out and be fulfilled in such a way as is necessary. Billy, but there really isn't any other way. Part of the work, at least, would still be done. Really, girl, I can't do it any other way anymore because my wife warrants me. Semyas, 59. Then you have to discuss these matters thoroughly with her some other time. Billy, I am tired of this. I can't do this anymore. Semyas, 60. Then Engelbert and Guido should take care of this matter. 61. They will find the right words for her because they both truly know of the importance and requirements of our and your mission. Billy, I won't make an attempt to win both of them for this impossibility. Semyas, 62. But it must be, for it is of utmost importance for the continued existence and fulfillment of the mission. Billy, unfortunately, there is no understanding for the extension of the family. Semyas, 63. You mean with your wife? Billy, of course. She doesn't make any attempts to delve herself into this matter. Semyas, 64. It is, however, of unconditional necessity that she does this. Otherwise, there really is no hope for the fulfillment of the mission. 65. Even a partially continuing work on your part or on our part would really have no value. Minus 66. It's enough to make one cry. 67. You are now approaching a better mental health again, and there, in your immediate and most important surroundings, everything is attempted and undertaken to destroy everything again, before there can even be a fresh start. 68. Nevertheless, I want to ask Engelbert and Guido. Billy, please, don't talk any more about that. Semyas, 69. But this must be done. Billy, this is very serious to me because I can't continue this drama anymore. Rather, I'll really give up everything and will also no longer continue to do work that is still possible for me. Semyas, 70. However, there must be a solution because such is the only way to continue everything. Billy, there's no solution because such a blockhead like my wife can't be reached. And now, I really wouldn't like to talk about it anymore. If it just has to be, then so also shall my work be. Semyas, 71. Then under these circumstances, it will probably be so. 72. But will you still keep to your work regarding the films and photographs? Billy, of course, because it is also my springboard. Semyas, 73. Then until then, another solution might be able to be found if Guido and Engelbert. Billy, now it's the last straw for me. If you don't stop flashing that at me, then I'll disappear, once and for all. I am really suffering the drama with my wife. Semyas, 74. I am sorry, let's talk of something else. Billy, I like this tone better. Semyas, 75. Do you, perhaps, have any other questions? Billy, I do, if I may ask. Semyas, 76? Sure. Billy, so then, can you explain to me exactly where the safest place for survival would be if the Great World War should actually break out? Even though we've often talked about this, you've never given me precise clues. Semyas, 77. Nevertheless, you know that group of underscores really is the safest place. 78. Then, secondly, comes group of underscores, wherein group of underscores, a suitable survival place would have to be created. Billy, you told me that many times, but the first one is simply impossible because it would cost billions of sums if we wanted to build a hideout there. Also, there would be a political quarrel there because the earthly nations have decided together that it should remain a neutral area. But at the moment, It wouldn't be neutral for the nations anymore if people firmly settled there. The second place would be much better climatically than the first, but a suitable station for survival and real security would still cost, at least, many millions even there. But certainly, it could still be created there if we had enough people and money or could find this within a short time. But those are really the only two recommendable places. Semyas, 79. You spoke of the greatest possible security for survival. 80. Yes, these two would be the only truly safe places. Billy, in Europe, no place can be found where there could be safety, right? Semyas, 81. Prior to any war, no. 82. In this regard, there would be no security at all. 83. Only in reference to earthquakes can safe or reasonably safe zones be mentioned. Billy, like Hinterschmidtity. But this is of no use to us if the great thumping, nevertheless, comes one day. Semyas, 84. Until then, you'd already have to be in security, with all necessary material, etc. That is, if you can actually continue your work and the whole mission is to be fulfilled. 85. Otherwise, settling down in a safe place would have no meaning. Billy, of course, because what human life should be protected and be preserved if, through perversity and selfishness, etc., this life is, one way or another, unalterably exposed to decay and destruction? Semyas, 86. It sounds inhumane, but it reflects the truth. 87. But it would be good if everything. Billy, leave this now, please. It profits nothing. One shouldn't cry over the loss of lost or declining things. Only fools cry about losing. Semyas, 88. It is shocking to hear this profound truth from your mouth in this respect. Billy, maybe, but now, can you still answer another three-part question for me? Semyas, 89. Sure. Billy, it concerns the forms of time travel, if you want to give me information about this? Semyas, 90. Ask. Billy, good, thank you. Yes, recently, I had a video rental. Its title was The Final Countdown. The story goes that an American aircraft carrier was driven by a magnetic storm into a dimension gate and was hurled from the year 1980 into the year 1941. Then, by an accident, so to speak, a crew member of the ship stayed behind in 1941, while the aircraft carrier returned to the year 1980 again by a new magnetic storm and by the dimension gate. Now, in the film, the left-behind crew member, who was approximately 30 years old in 1980, logically lived on from the time of 1941. This seems to be rather logical to me according to my knowledge. Now, however, comes what can no longer be logically placed into reality. The crew member left behind in 1941 pursued the outlet of the aircraft carrier in 1980, and this man, who would have had to become 69 years old in the meantime, could see himself as he went about as an approximately 30-year-old crew member on the ship, which then transported him, via the magnetic storm, into the past. According to this story, he would have been left behind in the year 1931 and then would have witnessed his own birth in 1950 and then would have lived parallel with himself for 30 years, so once young and once old. Semyas, 91. That is impossible. Billy, precisely, nevertheless, it is impossible if both want to live in the same time plane, both or are, nevertheless, only one person. The one staying in the past of 1941 would have had to die in 1939 at the latest, after which he would then have to be born again in 1950. This is so because the spirit form of the man is the same one at both times of his life, right? Semyas, 92. That is very clearly explained. 93. So it behaves in reality? Billy, well, Such a coexistence of life would only be possible if two different dimensions existed. Simyas, 94. That's right. Billy, good, then this case is clear. Then to the next one, many people are of the view that they could do different things in the past and change the future if they had the opportunity for a journey into the past. But according to my knowledge, this is impossible because the future and the apparent present have already happened, that is, because the events of the future follow from the ones that already occurred in the past. Therefore, a man could not travel, for example, into the past to kill his own father or mother. He was begotten and born by a mother. Therefore, if a man returned to the past to kill his mother or his father still before his birth, then this past traveler could have never been born. Is this right? Simyas, 95. Sure. Billy, good, so far so clear. Everything would be a paradox. And just to get around such a paradox, one would have to switch off the laws of space and time, so such a journey to the past could never take place in the way that the time-traveling person also actually arrives in the same material plane that exists in the past. And this also applies to the future. However, this also means that space and time are different in their expansion and in their speed in the past and in the future, which is the consequence for the time traveler that he penetrates into another dimension that is not handy for him materially. He could, indeed, live in this other dimension and exist if the living conditions there allowed it, but he couldn't enter into connection with the life forms there if he didn't have special aids for this. He would remain virtually invisible to the life forms of the past or future, or he could be recognized, at most, as silhouettes. Am I properly oriented there? Simyas, 96. Your explanation corresponds to the facts. Billy, so this also means that with the events of the film, The Final Countdown, a certain logic does, indeed, play along with them, but in truth, the one staying in the past obviously couldn't have lived on in material form in the normal time plane, even if he would have then skillfully died in 1949. He only could have lived on in an invisible form or, at most, as silhouettes in the next possible time dimension during the time from 1941 to 1980, but not in material form, as this was given from 1941 to 1980, when the young man was born and was later launched with the ship into the past. Is this also right? Simyas, 97. Surely. Billy, ah, now it starts to take form. Now, if people or machines and such travel into the past or the future, these are invisible there to the people or other life forms living there, although the time travelers can live there if they find suitable living conditions. This is in contrast to when people or machines simply penetrate into parallel times and, thus, into parallel dimensions, which are temporal and spatial and are, thus, exactly materially the same as the time plane from which the time travelers came. This is so even if such another parallel dimension was created somewhat sooner or later than the one from which the time travelers came. It's just important that the spatial and temporal relationships are exactly the same, right? Simyas, 98. Why do you always ask me if you have sufficient knowledge about this? Billy, I just want to be sure. Well then, time travel into the past or future is always other dimensional than the past or future itself. Now, however, the possibility exists, as I know from Ascot and from you and was also allowed to experience myself, that there are technical possibilities for one to make himself visible in the past or in the future and to communicate with the life forms there. However, this can only happen if the matter of the time traveler is condensed by technological devices or by consciousness forces to such an extent that the life form becomes visible as a body of energy, which one can pass through, however, because it remains, in any case, differently dimensioned. Did I say this right? Simyas, 99. Surely. Billy, so next, The aforementioned relates to time traveling with the aid of purely natural or technological processes, as they are known to human and other life forms or will one day become known, according to their level of development. Time travels, therefore, offer no possibility at all for changing any events, which already happened in the present or future, in the past. To these forms, however, there is still to be added that a time travel exists which comes about via pure consciousness-related forces and by what means it is possible to materialize oneself in the past or in the future. But for help in each case, the matter of the past or of the future must be taken. Nevertheless, a life form only becomes strong in this ability if he is accordingly developed in his consciousness evolution and lives out the necessary love for that purpose. This means that such a life form is no longer capable of committing illogical violence against the laws of nature. Thus, he never even enters into temptation anymore, if he travels to the past or to the future, to commit illogical violence, such as wanting to change the future through additional acts or deeds in the past. On the other hand, his logical understanding is already so highly evolved that he already recognizes and knows that nothing more can be changed in the past that would shape the future differently than what has already happened, for the future, from which the time traveler came, has already happened as an effect of the preceding causes. If now, however, a time traveler materializes in the past or in the future and meets himself there, then this will also happen in the future if he came from there, because the spirit, that is the spirit form, of the time traveler from the future also materializes in the past or in the future, depending on whether the trip leads from the future to the past or from the past to the future. This happened, for example, when I traveled with Escott into the past and then also into the future, and it also happened when I performed the experiment in Hinwil with the letters, which I then carried in the past, 2 days before the date of writing, to the post office. Simyas, 100. That's all correctly explained. It's just that for the Earth people, everything will be very confusing and incomprehensible. Billy, I've already often experienced this, because for normal thinking people, these things seem to be confusing and crazy. I've also noticed this in each case when talk was made about time traveling, which I performed with you. Time and space are still inexplicable to the person of Earth, even though everything is easy to understand. Simyas, 101. That is understandable because the Earth human being still has no great knowledge about space and time. 102. But on the other hand, you yourself have forgotten another important factor in your explanations, namely that time traveling can also be carried out in a materialized form in the past or future with technological assistance. 103. Just as we have demonstrated it to you. Billy, I haven't forgotten that, and on the other hand, I even spoke of it when I mentioned time traveling with the help of consciousness forces. Simyas, 104. Sure, but the technical aids can become highly effective time traveling missiles through the power of consciousness. You did not mention this. Billy, no, I thought that I shouldn't talk about it in such an open manner. Simyas, 105. It is also incomprehensible to the Earth person that he can't arrange any disaster with this knowledge. 106. Hence, you could have calmly mentioned these interests and facts. Billy, previously, however, I wasn't allowed to do this. Simyas, 107. Quite simply because at that time, it still would have raised too many problems for the various interested parties, in which they would have hopelessly entangled themselves. Billy, that has, indeed, also already happened. Some have nearly gone mad. Simyas, 108. That is known to me, but now, this danger should be avoided. Billy, as you mean. Simyas, 109. It is as I say. Billy, then that's also good. In regards to this, That was actually everything that I had to say about time traveling, except that now, I have the problem that we've talked too long, and nevertheless, I promised to be with my guests again in about 30 minutes. But now, 1.5 hours have passed, and somehow, I ought to be back again at the right time. Semyas, 110. You know that this is no problem. Billy, of course not, with your infernal machine of a ship, indeed, nearly anything is possible. Semyas, 111. I will come down to your workroom with you for a few minutes, if you will allow me. Billy, logically. Semyas, 112. Then we'll go back in time about 75 minutes. Billy, that's enough. Then I can possibly go back into the kitchen again at 12:30 a.m. Semyas, 113. Then now, position yourself here. Billy, what is that? Semyas, 114. You would say that it is a time transmitter. Billy, there are all kinds of new stuff in this new ship. Can you explain this in a little more detail once? Semyas, 115. Not today. Billy, I agree with you, but I would still have a question now. When you restore me back to time in each case, this is, once more, another kind of time travel. But how this works, I have not yet found out with all my contemplating. It is only clear to me that this type of time travel has nothing to do with forms, of which we have spoken just now. Semyas, 116. I will explain this to you once in detail, when everything is in place. 117. But about this form of time travel, you may give no one information. 118. Now, however, we should go. Billy. Okay. Semyas, 119. So, here we are. 120. It's nice to be in your workroom once again, and this time, I brought my protective device. Billy, that was also wise, when I think of the accident at that time. Semyas, 121. Yes, in this, I've done well, because someone is outside. 122. Do you hear the faint sounds? Billy, no, but it seems to be better if you go back before something happens again. Semyas, 123. I think so, too. 124. Farewell, my friend, and think again about everything that we've discussed regarding the work and mission. 125. Until we meet again. Billy, goodbye, girl, bye, and I will think about it. Greet everyone rather nicely for me. Semyas, 126. Gladly, thanks. 127. Also pay my dear greetings. 128. Until we meet again.